This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
Really go anywhere. We were just kind of sitting here the whole time. But needless to say, we're here and this is where we are. It doesn't matter where here is. If we weren't here, then we wouldn't be here because we'd be somewhere else.
True that.
If you would like to be where we are, but you're not, you can join us by dialing 603-283-6160. Again, 603-283-6160. It is Free Talk Live. It's the Sunday night edition where we get a little weird from time to time. In the studio, it's myself, the captain.
Steve Classic.
And Nikki.
Speaking of weird, we have a certain caller on the line with us. Caller, will you announce who you are?
This is Major Payne.
Major Payne. Hey, you're just in time for our number two story.
I got a quickie for you.
Right.
I know you're pretty good at spinning a yarn, right? So on the break, you must bring your knitting with you.
I've been known to crochet from time to time.
Oh, are you hooked on it now?
Oh. Yeah, let's see if we can pull this through now.
He gets a participation award for that one.
Did you actually have something to talk about tonight, or...?
Oh, I missed the first 15 minutes of the show, and I wondered what.
Oh, you poor bastard.
It was a good one, too.
I got some something on all the other things you've been talking about, too. But go ahead. I want to hear this one right quick. What did they do to that poor little kid?
Oh, they killed the goat.
They killed the goat. Why? Yeah. What the hell did the goat do?
The goat.
It was a contract.
There was a contract.
It was a contract hit. The contract got his head.
The goat participated. Is what the goat did.
He won the participation award.
Yeah, the goat won the ultimate participation trophy. The goat got to have its life ended by the state.
He flipped something over? What did he do, charge the cop car or what?
No. So apparently when the contract was made to have this goat in the state fair and participate, there was some language in that contract that said that at the end of the thing, the goat will be sold to slaughter. And the mom, at the last minute, sort of decided to sort of kidnap, pun intended.
Ah.
Okay, so this was a 4-H sale.
That's what I think, yeah.
The contract.
Bingo, yeah. State fair or county fair, not state fair, county fair, 4-H style, exactly. Yeah, you got it.
Yeah. All right, I thought they just, like, charged over the mountain and the damn goat charged them and they shot the damn goat or something. It was like,
no, they only do that with dogs.
No, they traveled over 500 miles to kidnap and slaughter the goat. And take it away from the 9-year-old girl, who, according to at least California law, can't be held to a contract.
Well, that is a whole new definition of a Judas goat, then, isn't it?
Yes.
All right,
I'm feeling the pain, Major. I'm feeling the pain.
On the dogs and rock things, I knew a couple real interesting dogs. One of them, a buddy of mine, had a lab, and he lived on a lake. And you could take a rock and throw it out 9 foot of water. And this damn dog finds the same rock every time. It was amazing.
Yeah, it's a retriever.
It is a water dog.
How does a dog smell underwater?
That's exactly what has always baffled me.
Because, from what I know about dogs, the dogs are scent driven. That's their major sense. Like, people are visually driven mostly.
Yeah.
And that's how, we get by mostly as a species. But dogs are scent driven. And so, generally speaking, that's their primary. So I'm not sure, how that dog was able to find the same rock.
But, you take a rock and you let it settle through the seaweed and bloop into into the muck, he certainly ain't going to find it by sight. No way.
Bloop into the muck.
Bloop into the muck.
Yes.
I knew another couple of girls that had this pretty good-sized pit bull. And somewhere or another, this dog had come upon a damn near perfectly round rock.
Okay.
And it was about 40 pounds. And this dog would push that thing across the yard. And he would sometimes run into the foundation of the house and literally shake the freaking house.
Oh my gosh.
Wow.
He'd get going 20 miles an hour pushing this damn thing with his head. He had raw marks on his jawbone and on his...
LRN.FM.
Oh, Major, you said a bad word. Gotta let you go. Yeah, so... Sorry, Major. You know the rules. We'll talk to you next time. Thank you, Steve Classic, for being on top of it.
Because I never swear.
That's bull.
Wait, dump yourself. Wait, no, you
no, no, no. I didn't say it. I didn't say it yet. I'm not saying I won't. I just happened to look over it. Like to look at this because it's distracting from the show, but somebody in the chat room just while Major was on says, Nikki is not having this caller. Did he call her a four or something?
What?
Yeah.
I love Major Payne.
I know they're misinterpreting your eye roll or your movement or something, you know, like, yeah. So at any rate,
they're watching the show.
I'm not laughing enough, I guess.
And now they said, wow, they read my messages on it. I'm famous.
Hey, get a participation trophy.
Yeah,
that's
well,
it.
The joke's on you. I'm not telling anybody who you are. Ha, 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 ha. At any rate, should we go to the number two story?
Let's do it.
Yeah.
All right. The number two story tonight.
I can go for number two.
Number two story tonight, even though it's the third story.
But it's the number two story.
It really is. In an ode to Richie Rich.
Yeah.
Because you and he both had this, I believe. Didn't you?
Really?
In your show prep?
This is mine.
Oh.
Well, don't give him credit.
Maybe he
this
copied
is mine.
Me.
He might have. Yeah. He does that sometimes.
Yeah, he copies me, too. That's fine. He'll give us crap about that later. Tune in next week for the crap that Richie Rich gives us.
Oh, don't poo-poo him.
Oh! From Reason.com, under the medicine heading.
What?
Yeah, it says medicine, and then the headline I'm about to read you all. Are you ready?
Yeah.
I gave myself severe diarrhea for science. Don't tax me for it.
Amen.
We really have some doozy headlines here on the Sunday Night Edition from time to time, and this one does not disappoint in any way, shape, or form. Eliminating taxation on compensation for being a human guinea pig is just good public policy. Again, I gave myself severe diarrhea for science. Don't tax me for it. At exactly 11:04 a.m. on April 6, 2002.
Exactly 11:04 a.m.
Exactly. On April 6, 2002. I stood within a medical isolation facility and gulped down a solution of Shigella flexneri bacteria. I'm probably mispronouncing that. Surrounded by a half dozen nurses and doctors in protective equipment, I contracted dysentery, the signature condition caused by the Shigella family. What would possess someone to do such a thing?
Probably money.
Follow the money.
I don't know. Anybody ever watch that old series Jackass?
Why not?
Film it. And
it's like, why did this guy jump
money.
Out? Yeah. Why
you
did this
brand
guy...
my butt?
Yeah,
those guys would drink. Those guys would drink Epicac and all sorts of fun stuff. What would possess someone to do such a thing? I drank the bespoke pathogenic cocktail. Cocktail. That's right. Yes, Lowe. I drank the bespoke pathogenic cocktail as part of what's known as a human challenge study. Now, I'm morphing from Mr. Howell into Sean Connery somehow. That's bad. I'm going to stop that. It's bad radio. Stop it, Captain. Okay.
You're talking to yourself. That's bad radio.
Yeah. Tell me about it. Don't.
No.
I drank the bespoke pathogenic cocktail as part of what's known as the Human Challenge Study run by Center for Vaccine Development at the University of Maryland, Baltimore. Because there's so many Marylands, they had to clarify that it was in Baltimore.
Right.
In a human challenge study, adult volunteers are exposed to a pathogen. The study I was involved in was intended to test an experimental vaccine.
Oh, experimental vaccine. Continue.
The process may sound somewhat medieval.
You need a good bleeding.
But these studies are critical scientific tools that prioritize participant safety. From 1980 to 2021, over 15,000 volunteers have been exposed to one of dozens of diseases in such studies, and not one has died.
Oh, wow.
Wait, they're participants?
Did they get a trophy?
I hope so. I hope they got something.
Hopefully this is not taking place in North Carolina.
Because it doesn't sound like what this guy got is a trophy.
Well, we don't want to see
it. It might have been particularly spectacular and photo-worthy, but no, I wouldn't call it a trophy. Unless you, like, shellacked it.
Oh,
right? Yeah. But then either way, you still just have a polished turd.
Right? Oh.
Dysentery can be fatal. While Shigella is a treatable disease, or is treatable with antibiotics, resistance is evolving at a worrying pace, and tens of thousands of children still succumb to it every year in the developing world.
Baltimore?
Yeah, it's at the developing world. I was thinking that. How many cases of dysentery do we have in the United States? That can't really be that many. From what I know, that's like a clean drinking water issue, like drinking from streams.
Well, first of all, you have to think about how many people are named Terry, and then how many people are insulting those people because they're dysentery.
So maybe more than we think.
Those it does not kill are often left with stunted growth. During my 10-day inpatient quarantine, however, I was never afraid for my life. I had been thoroughly screened to make sure I was otherwise healthy, had a dedicated medical research team monitoring me 24/7, and was given antibiotics once my symptoms became severe. Death, then, was anything but certain for me. Taxes, however, remain quite certain. For my assistance in the development of a potentially life-saving vaccine, I was paid $7,350.
Yeah, I might do it for that.
I would probably also do it for that amount of money. Showing you what a biological whore I am.
Crappy job.
Yeah. My motivations were altruistic to a degree. I wanted to pay my privilege forward, as I told Business Insider. However, I am not a complete saint, and I would not have done it for free.
Huh?
Okay, that's fair. I mean, I wouldn't either.
Like, no, who would?
Give me something, buy me dinner, you know, I don't know.
At a Mexican restaurant.
Give me a consolation prize or something.
Something. Yeah.
As far as the Internal Revenue Service is concerned, the compensation for my bout of dysentery had zero charitable components. It's just regular old income, indistinguishable from, say, freelance writing or mowing your neighbor's lawn. If, God forbid, I'm ever audited, I hope the IRS agent believes me when I say that's just my diarrhea money.
Oh, my gosh.
I maintain, though, that I should not be taxed on that $7,350 at all. Treating clinical trial compensation as taxable income is just bad policy. At the risk of sounding self-important, healthy human medical volunteers, indispensable in the development of numerous vaccines and therapeutics, probably have done more good for the world as a group than have U.S. Olympic medal winners. Who? You know, by the way, no participation trophies in the Olympics.
In the Olympics,
yeah, it's gold, silver, bronze.
That's right.
Yep. If you didn't get one of those, loser.
Go get a medical study.
Probably have done more good for the world as a group than have U.S. Olympic medal winners whom Congress exempted from taxes on their prizes. That's right.
Wait, wow. Congress is exempt from what?
Congress exempted Olympians from taxes on their prizes.
Wow.
So you train real hard for years and years and years to go, like, I don't know, Olympic bowling or something, right? And you win.
Olympic bowling.
Which they have Olympic, like, anything's a sport.
Yeah.
Now. Like, you know.
Ballroom dancing.
Yeah, they do. They have that. And it's like Olympic bowling. They have, like, Olympic chess.
Skateboarding, I think, is a.
Right? Yeah, chess is a sport.
Yeah, it's skateboarding.
Yeah, all that. Anyway, so Congress is like, if you win, tax-free. It's fine.
Right. Well, is that real gold, or is it just like a piece of chocolate that has gold foil on it?
And then I hope it's chocolate.
Yeah.
I might enlist.
You might
just get the chocolate.
Begin your Olympian training.
Yeah.
It'd be funny to have, like, Nikki the Olympian on Free Talk Live. Participation in a trial for a vaccine is, at the very least, more socially valuable than a mere membership in a gym. I mean, the Olympians, to their credit, take it a wee bit further.
Yeah, a wee bit further.
The logic of tax breaks for medical experiment volunteers extends to the state level as well. Surely if tax credits for donating venison and growing oysters are acceptable in Maryland, so too should be a tax credit for my diarrhea.
I mean, yeah. I didn't know that they exempted those other things.
Yeah.
But really, no income should be taxed. How about that? Let's just across the board make it easy. No income tax.
I support a fair tax. Zero is the most fair tax that could ever be invented. Zero.
Or I like the gift card economy. I like that. That idea.
Also, I want to know, how much tax credit do I get for donating venison? Because,
and why?
Because, like, deer exist, and they die all the time, so you just sort of collect it up. And they go, oh, you owe X amount. Oh, here.
Here's my venison.
Dump truck full of deer.
The DOT,
I mean, actually, you might want to keep the meat versus the FRNs.
It could be more valuable.
You know what I mean? I think the venison might be more valuable.
Yeah.
Might just want to get rid of the USD.
If you slaughter it up right, you know, butcher it properly, chuck it in a freezer, you could probably turn around and sell that.
Turn it to jerky.
You know? Make it, venison
backstrap jerky.
Venison jerky.
Yeah.
All right.
Insert caveman noise here.
Unga bunga. Captain Caveman!
And son.
I'm really reaching on that one.
Wow.
That's showing my age, man. Saturday morning cartoons here on Free Talk Live. Research suggests that money is indeed a primary motive for healthy clinical trial participants. Altruism is also important for most, but people don't usually consent to getting injected with malaria or taking a gulp of diarrheal germ juice only to feel good about themselves. It is notoriously difficult to recruit and retain clinical trial subjects in general. It's basic marginal economics. Unquestionably, there are people for whom $7,350 is worth the risk of dysentery. Not everyone in my cohorts got sick, but the post-tax sum is not. At the very least, there's a base 15.3% self-employment tax, which knocks off just over $1,100.
Wow.
That's crazy.
Even before state and federal income taxes take their bite. Wow. Clinical studies certainly don't adjust compensation to make it equal across all tax brackets. The state has already decided it has a strong interest in medical research. The federal government disperses tens of billions of dollars every year in research grants via the National Institutes of Health, and tax breaks for volunteer compensation could only help speed up the numerous clinical trials that some of that money goes toward. In short, we currently tax disincentivize otherwise very socially and economically valuable behavior. I agree with that. The fact that you are taxing somebody for taking a risk to help, arguably, their fellow man.
Yeah.
Right? In some way, shape, or form. What exactly did the state do to assist in this particular endeavor?
Probably nothing
did they,
at all.
Did they run the tests themselves? Did they help this guy in any way, shape, or form? Did they come? Did they check on him? Make sure he was okay while he was having his diarrhea? Did they do anything? Did they participate in any way?
No.
They collected the taxes.
All they did was go, give me my money.
Yeah. Well, that's what they do.
Give me my money. Yeah.
And then we'll give them a grant. Hopefully this guy with the diarrhea didn't have any medical expenses after the fact. Talk about losing money.
What a crappy situation.
Jeez. Oh, I had $7,000 in medical bills. I got paid $7,000, but the government took $1,000. I'm in the hole. Ooh.
Yeah. Yeah. Why can't studies just raise their compensation rates to better attract participants? As a whole, the field of research ethics is deeply averse to paying participants too much money for fear of undue inducement Compensation so grand that it obliterates a subject's rational ability to evaluate risk and thus eliminates their ability to provide truly informed consent.
I mean, that does make sense. Because if you offer someone like $1 million, people will do anything for $1 million. Right. You know, you keep it down like under 10 grand, then it's a little bit more, you know.
Okay,
people
but then
say no to stuff.
Let's apply that logic to our political people, our elected officials' salaries, because
I mean, yeah,
they're way too high.
I mean,
for the amount of risk that they don't take,
yeah,
and for literally being bullies and tyrants, bossing people around, they deserve. In fact, they should be paying us,
right,
yeah,
for that privilege.
Yeah,
I wonder if are they taxed? They must be taxed.
Depends who they know.
In fact, some ethicists are anxious over any payment at all for research subjects. I want to disclose, this author says payment is usually a few $1,000s at most. Mine was rather high, so he's saying $7,350 was a bit high for this type of thing. An influential survey of research professionals, bioethicists, and institutional review board members found a pervasive ethical concern that offering payments to subjects will influence a prospective research participant's decision to enroll or remain in a trial. An astonishing 65% of them agreed that participants are coerced if the offer of payment makes them participate when they otherwise would not. So, let's again apply this to politicians. Would politicians campaign as hard as they do for the jobs that they get if the pay wasn't enough?
I think they get
because
a lot of their pay probably comes from some shady stuff.
Oh, sure.
Kickbacks.
Sure.
Yeah, like so.
How many politicians that we've seen get elected to office, they're only getting paid $150,000, $200,000 yeah. a year, and within 4 years, they're multimillionaires.
Yeah.
Right, we see that all, but that's because of the connections they make and the backroom deals and the handshake
and
stuff, all that kind of stuff. It would be nice for there to be zero incentive to be a tyrant, to be a coordinator of violence to other people. There should be zero incentive for forcing your preferences on your fellow man. That's just how I feel. Yet payments continue, of course, because without payments, research would grind to a halt.
Would it, though?
Would it grind to a halt, or would you just have to, would it be slim pickings? 603-283-6160, if you'd like to join us. Have you participated in one of these trials where you get paid? And if so, what happened? Give us a call. Let us know. Free Talk Live. More coming up. It's the Sunday Night Edition.
Are you a business owner? Are you confused by the complexity of the tax laws? We can help. I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been helping business owners solve tax problems for over 40 years. My book, The Small Business Tax Guide, shows proven ways to avoid all the common business tax problems. Don't risk your business. Go to danpilla.com to order your copy. That's danpilla.com. Order now and get a free 15-minute call directly with me, a $99 value. Go to danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at teamg'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. Teamg'day.com. Teamg'day.com.
USA News Update. Fox News has been hit with a lawsuit and in court. Karen Sloan has the latest on the case.
Fox took responsibility for what lawyers called a misunderstanding regarding Chairman Rupert Murdoch's role. Lawyers initially reported Murdoch didn't have an official title, but last week he was revealed to be an executive officer at Fox News. Dominion is suing Fox over the network's claims that voting machines were rigged in the 2020 election.
Workers in the tech industry are concerned concerned about losing their jobs to chatbots and artificial intelligence. According to job firm Challenger Gray and Christmas, there's already been a 5% increase in tech job cuts in the first 3 months of this year than during all of 2022. Pete Davidson is heading back to SNL on May 6th as a host. Dave Collins, USA News.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. Shopsupertea.com.
Advertising is simple. It starts with someone who has a need.
Mom!
And then gets more specific.
Mom, I want pizza.
Then we add urgency.
I want pizza tonight.
Before you know it, your GCN advertising message is reaching millions of listeners. Listeners who are definitely in need.
We want pizza!
You see, advertising on GCN is simple. Your message meets their need, and the result means new business for you. Tell us about your business, then let our super creative department go to work to craft just the right message to feed those who have an urgent need.
We want pizza tonight!
GCN has the most affordable national radio advertising rates, period. And millions of people listen to GCN radio programs on over 1,000 AM and FM and XM stations and streaming audio live. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just shoot us an email, advertise@gcnlive.com.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
Snack bar.
Admiral Snack Bar.
It's a trap.
Listeners are like, what the heck am I listening to?
Block. Delete.
Yeah, don't do that. In fact, you should probably like save the channel or
yeah,
the station.
Save.
You know,
friend,
if you're driving around
subscribe.
In like a 1968 Dodge Dart or something, and you've got one of those push button radios like saves the station with the push button.
AM only?
Yeah, just go ahead and save whatever station you're listening to where you're hearing this program. This program is called what? Free Talk Live. Live. What's the number?
603-283-6160.
Call now for a participation trophy.
And that phone number has a nickname. What is it, Steve Klancic?
I'm sorry.
What is the nickname of the phone number to call?
That is the domestic terrorist hotline.
Very well. Who are you?
I'm Nikki.
Who are you?
Steve Klancic.
Who am I?
The captain.
Right.
And that's us.
That's what we're doing here tonight, Free Talk Live, Sunday night edition. We're talking about this article from Reason.com under the subheading of medicine. The headline reads, I gave myself severe diarrhea for science. Don't tax me for it. This particular author sold himself to science in a way to take something that gave him dysentery. For medicinal research purposes.
He probably signed a contract.
He probably did. There were no goats involved, at least so far. And they agreed to pay him $7,350.
That's his participation trophy, is the check.
It seems to be.
And the result of the study.
So we get to a point where he has collected the money. He's gone through the thing. He got sick. He got the diarrhea. Did it for science. He did it for the money. Whatever. And now he doesn't get $7,350.
Nope.
I wonder if he's like the girl who had the goat taken away. Like, oh, the government's taking my money. And we'll turn
yeah,
him.
Yeah, that realization.
Yeah, wait, it's not $7,300.
Well, because especially when you're getting money and you're not expecting it to be taxed, a lot of people are used to income tax and it just automatically coming out of their bank account. And a lot of times people don't realize the percentage that they're being taxed at.
Right.
But say your boss says, oh, hey, I'm going to give you this $2,500 bonus. And you're like, cool, I'm going to get an extra $2,500. And then you look at the price and then you do the math and you're like, hey, why did they take $900, 36% out of my bonus?
Yeah.
That kind of stings a little bit more. So when this guy's like, oh, cool, I'm getting $7,000 to give myself dysentery and then only gets six whatever or five whatever.
Well, we've only talked about the first part, which is the self-employment tax, which knocks off about $1,100. So we're down
More?
And there's more.
Well, I'm assuming there is because state and federal income tax are going to take a bite out of that as well. But before we continue, I want to tell you that Mark Warden of Porcupine Real Estate is doing some seminars. You can learn more about the awesome things happening in New Hampshire in our march toward liberty in our lifetime. Our friends at Porcupine Real Estate are hosting a series of webinars to educate folks on the expanded freedoms enjoyed by New Hampshire citizens. Reserve your seat today at move.freetalklive.com. Topics of these seminars include gun freedom, medical freedom, political freedom victories. They also have a couple on best practices for moving to the free state and finding housing. These webinars are super helpful and free to attend once you've registered at move.freetalklive.com. You can visit their YouTube channel, Porcupine Real Estate, for videos from past presentations and sign up for upcoming webinars for free at move.freetalklive.com. I am in love with this idea people putting together instructional videos to help other freedom-minded people move and come help us be the change we want to see in the world.
I have a participation trophy from that web series. I participated in the food freedom webinar with Steve Nash from the Independence Inn. It was great.
Yeah.
It's a great little thing that they're doing.
Have you made it out there yet?
I have not. It's too far.
Have you made it out there?
I have not.
Okay, well, field trip.
Field trip.
Yeah.
All right.
Let's
reporting
all
live.
Next Sunday.
Next Sunday.
No, I can't. Yeah,
do the show from there.
Yeah. If only we had the, anyway.
Well.
Perhaps in the future.
You never know.
We will have mobile Free Talk Live capabilities. More so than we do now, perhaps. At any rate, so this guy, took something, gave him some dysentery. Was supposed to get $7,350, but no. The tyrants got to take a cut for nothing. They didn't do anything. They didn't help in any way. They're not part of this medical research. They're not part of this guy's life. They didn't, they weren't there holding his hand or like wiping his butt.
It's like blackmail, right? So it's like, if you give me this money, I won't kill you or throw you in a cage.
Yeah, we'll protect you from what might happen. What might happen is we might kidnap you. We might bust your kneecaps. Yeah. Yeah, it's true. They might. Might throw in a kid. Might kill you if you
absolutely,
if you resist
they
them.
Might. Absolutely.
So we're down to $6,250 if you're keeping track playing the home game of Free Talk Live
tonight. Wow.
The state has already decided it has a strong interest in medical research. The federal government disperses tens of billion dollars every year in research grants. Blah, 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 blah. Why can't studies? We talked about that already. In fact, some ethicists are anxious over any payment at all. As a paid research guinea pig, I find this whole undue inducement framing paternalistic. And the notion that payment equals coercion is self-evidently absurd. if applied across the range of human economic relations. That's true. Because, if you apply that to the state.
It
doesn't really work out. Yeah. Weird. If a study has adequate oversight, its informed consent process should be robust enough to ensure volunteers are of sound mind and can truly evaluate the risks of participation as autonomous adults, even if they are compensated in small part for those risks. This is like, to me, this is like doing quality assurance for software. You can do this freelance. If you know what you're doing with doing software QA, you do this freelance. You just find somebody who's looking for beta testers, and you can sign up and go beta test their products, and then they will drop you a stipend for your efforts, right? Mm-hmm. There's no risk, really. I mean, there's no health risk, right? There's risk in that, you might do it wrong, or, they're going to give you wrong information, or you might, build some sort of... I'm sure you got to sign, an NDA or whatever before you start even doing this, but, those people are just fine making that decision, right? At any rate, the undue inducement argument is rooted in a general distrust of markets in general, especially for something so visceral as a medical study. Combined with vague regulatory guidelines, the upshot is a functional price ceiling in the name of protecting participants. IRBs will reject payments that are too high, yet paying $1,000 versus, say, $10,000 does not eliminate any supposedly dastardly market dynamic. It simply shifts the supposed burden to low-income people, for whom $1,000 is more likely to be worth the discomfort and opportunity cost.
That's absolutely true.
We already know so-called professional human guinea pigs in phase one non-challenge drug and vaccine studies treat the field as a sort of labor market, weighing the options at different research centers and for different studies. So this author himself or herself points out that there already are market forces in another area of medicine that pull this off without any sort of tomfoolery involved. In the name of protecting the economically vulnerable, then, the research ethics field appears to have decided that paying people more is unethical and bad for them.
I just don't agree with that, because when you think about it, when you do any job or service that you're getting paid for, you're always taking a risk. That's like saying, I'm trying to think of an example of a job that has high liability or is dangerous.
Roofers. But,
yeah, stuff like that. People are typically paid more for dangerous jobs that are higher risk, so I don't get it. And this was kind of some of the discrepancy with surrogacy. If our listeners aren't familiar with what that is when a woman becomes pregnant for another family, and you typically will So they'll typically use the parent's genetic material and will just carry the baby because either the mother doesn't want to, can't, whatever the reason.
Yeah.
And a lot of, feminists have an issue with this because they say it targets lower income women and typically you get around 30, 50 grand to do it.
Yeah.
Large chunk of money, right? But most women aren't going to do it for less than that. And then there's the...
Well, men can do it now.
Well, you need a uterus, but...
Well...
But the issue is...
I can rent one of those.
Yeah, exactly. But the issue is people say it targets lower income women because you typically don't see wealthier women doing it. Yeah, you might do it if my sister couldn't have a baby and was like, hey, Nikki, can you please carry my baby for me? Maybe I might.
Right.
You might do it for a family member, but most people aren't willing to do stuff like that out of the kindness of their heart. I feel bad for this family because they can't have kids.
And, adopt. 50 grand, for a lower income person, that's, down payment on a house or something.
Is it necessarily wrong, though, to sell yourself, so to speak, either for science, give yourself diarrhea, or become pregnant if you really need that money, or say, I don't really need the money that bad, but... I want to redo my bathroom or something, and I need some extra cash.
Right.
If being a surrogate is worth it, I just don't get why somebody more money would ever be unethical.
This is an interesting thing to talk about, because everybody, we've all heard of minimum wage.
Yeah.
The government goes, nobody should be paid less than X, whatever that number is.
Yeah.
Every now and again, there'll be some sort of political fight over should it be lower, should it be raised. It's really lowered. It's always raised. But if there's logic that supports having a minimum wage, well, then logic would dictate that there should also be a maximum wage.
No.
Well, there shouldn't be either.
That's what this is.
Yeah.
That's what this is. This is the government saying, no. What you're doing is only worth this, not that.
And it should be up to person for them to decide, right? So, like, say if somebody was like, hey, Nikki, I really want you to carry my baby. Like, only you, no one else, 30 grand. I'm like, no, I won't do that for 30 grand. So they're like, okay, 50 grand, 100 grand.
Right.
Then I might
say, like a reverse auction.
Yeah, 100 grand, I might say yes for that. So, but if that's worth it for me, and if it's worth it for the people who are paying me to do this service, then what's wrong with that? That's our business.
Yeah.
If I was like, hey, I'll do it for $5, the government can't be like, nope, that's under the minimum wage. You know, you need to at least be paid $15 to do this thing.
I'm just checking my wallet. Oh, I don't have a $5.
Oh,
too bad.
Can I borrow $5?
Nikki, yeah, I'll see if I have
my stuff for $5. So.
I got some gold back.
$5.
I got a gold back. It's worth about $4.
Oh, that's better. Four? Yeah, I'll take that.
Will you take 4? How about 2? Mm. I'm just kidding, Nikki. In the name of protecting the economically vulnerable, then, the research ethics field appears to have decided that paying people more is unethical and bad for them. Fortunately, a clinical trial compensation tax break could raise aggregate payment to volunteers. This idea ought to have cross-ideological appeal. A tax break for the right, more life-saving health research for the government's dollar for the left. Clinical trials are key steps in the development of life-saving medical advances, and the state already assumes a role in their promotion. Taxes on volunteer compensation depress participation, thereby stalling medical progress and undermining the efforts the state already funds, not to mention the many private trials not funded by the government. Thus, the tax on my dysentery money must go, preferably before I file this year.
Yeah, I agree. Or just don't file, or just don't claim that. Yeah. Boom, problem solved.
April 18th is coming up, and Biden's going to be looking at all y'all. Going, you bitches got my money.
Yeah.
You bitches got my money.
The credit, it's credit
like
card economy.
That old Dirty Bastard song. Hey, Dirty, baby, I got your money, don't you worry. Said hey.
Yeah, during the Obama administration, there used to be a meme of, it was a picture of like a young Obama. It looked like he was smoking a doobie or something in a hat.
With a hat.
And it was pasted onto like a mailbox, one of these blue mailboxes you see on the corner. And then the caption under it just read, you bitches got my money. Right? Tax day, April 15th, bitches got my money. And that's what it is. For those of you who are just tuning in or aren't familiar with our program, all taxation is extortion. That's it.
Theft.
Somebody going, hey, give me some of your life's effort that we had no hand in. We helped you in no way, shape, or form. We gave you nothing, but you owe us for existing. As a condition of your existence, you owe us a portion of your life's effort.
Who's going to fill in the potholes? Well, they don't even do that.
Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Domino's.
And Domino's, right. Domino's, yeah.
I mean, there are solutions.
Who's to anyone except for the government, because they're already not doing that. So
the solutions to all these private people are like, well, what about and who will do that? And blah, blah, blah. The answer is people.
Yeah.
People.
Grow up, be an adult, and do it yourself.
If a thing has value, it will be done in the absence of government. Government is just claiming a monopoly on these things. It won't allow competition in all sorts of things. Think of any government organization. Show me competition. Show me a free market for that particular thing. There is none? You mean you can't compete with the Parks Department? Like, I don't know how many stories we've done. I remember one that there was like a broken stairway in a park. And so guy, you know, handy dude, lived in the community, lived up, you know, spent time in the park frequently.
Fixed it up.
Fixed it up. No, no, no. They came and tore it down.
What?
They came and tore it down.
It wasn't built to union
spec. Oh, my gosh.
And
it's like,
right?
They could have just turned an eye to that. You know, and that's what bothers me a lot about cops and other government people, where they're like, oh, I'm just doing my job. It's like, yeah, I get that. But there are a lot of things that they could just, you know, turn their... I think we've all been
discretion.
Discretion, exactly. Like, mm-hmm. Several times you get pulled over by a cop and they're like, nah, you know, I either, you know, whatever. I'm not going to give you a ticket today. We're going to pretend like this interaction never happened. I'm going to let you off with a warning, whatever.
Yeah.
They always have the option to do that.
Yeah.
But they pick and choose when they do it. Yep. And if they're in a bad mood or if they don't like you for whatever reason.
I don't like red cars.
Yeah, I don't like red cars. I don't like black people. Whatever the reason.
I hate the parks.
Yeah. I hate stairs. Whatever the reason is, they will, you know, either destroy something, you know, your hard work and your creations, steal your money or whatever they want to do to you. Shoot you, kill you. It's up to their discretion.
And they definitely want to.
Seems like it.
And they won't get out of the way. Mm. All right. Police, cops, they like to whine and moan about how horrible their reputation is.
My job is so hard.
How taxed they are. Taxed is a wrong word, but like, you know, oh, we put our lives in danger every day. No, you don't. Roofers put their lives in danger every day. Garbage men put their lives in danger every day. Right? Commercial fishermen put their lives in danger every day. Cops, not so much. But they like to whine and moan about all of this. And, oh, I don't understand. They don't understand why the reputation is so horrible. They have all the power to control that. They have the power to change that. I've said time and time again, and I'll say it again right now. Dear police, if you would like to improve your reputation amongst people, here's what you do. Since you are all such a tight-knit group, a community of people who are, you know, you blue people out there.
The blue line.
Yeah. All you got to do is get together and send a memo to each other and say, hey, as of right now, we are no longer we're using our discretion, and we are no longer enforcing anything that does not have a victim.
I mean, that would be great.
Yeah.
And
be nice.
That's it. That's all they have to do. All you got. Okay, was a person or somebody's property harmed? No. Leave it alone. None of your business.
Right.
That's how you improve your reputation. Yeah. You want, and that's immediate. You start doing that today. You send a memo out, and somebody's going to leak that to the press. The press is going to get a hold of it. Everybody's going to go, wow, that's amazing. Well, what a huge improvement.
And I've even seen a lot where, you know, Bolton, Massachusetts. They are notoriously, the police in Bolton, Massachusetts are notoriously terrible tyrants. They will pull people over. They will pull little old ladies over for going 5 miles over the speed limit. I know, because they did it to my grandmother when I was like 6 years old, right? And then they harassed me maybe 20 years later, you know, for whatever. So they've been continuously harassing people for 30 plus years. And everybody knows, everybody that lives around that area knows that the Bolton, Massachusetts police are scumbags and that they feed on the lives of innocent people and they harass people. You know, also around here, Troy, New Hampshire, those police are actually, you know, I'm not going to say they're completely innocent, but they have been very kind to me. And I've heard from other people as well. It's like, well, as far as cops go, those cops aren't that bad. You know, they'll give you a break or they're a little bit more understanding. So it is possible for police officers as individuals, and even town to town, city to city, state to state, to create their own reputation. Like, this isn't a death sentence.
Yeah.
And I don't think anybody should be a cop. I don't think we should have cops that are working for the state.
No, we shouldn't. What we should have is private security.
Absolutely.
A service that I can subscribe to for
on demand
for a price that I can afford,
like AAA.
For the services that I need.
Yeah, some people
need more security than others. Some people don't. Some people are just fine securing themselves and won't subscribe at all. Other people will oversubscribe because they want and need way more security. Like the market is what makes that go, not violent use of force. Enforcing people to somebody else's preference.
I think a lot of that culture comes from the chief, right? He or she would be the head of the police department and bring in that culture. I think
probably.
It probably starts right there and trickles down.
Yeah, I would think.
I would, but it hurts. What were we talking about?
Our number two story.
Compensation for number two.
Yeah.
Oh, our number two story.
Yeah. I think you're wrapping that up.
We went on a tangent to
about
police and like this is what I don't get. Like in no other profession are the people doing the job more responsible for their reputation than police, military, politicians, right? They're the ones who are responsible for their own reputations, more so than any other job. But they like to whine and cry about the media. No, that's you. That's your fellow co-workers who are creating this horrible reputation for you. If you feel that reputation is unfair, take steps to change it. But none of you are.
Yeah,
none of you.
Self-responsibility. And, you know, it's interesting to think about it from that perspective. Because thinking about nurses for several years are always voted the most trustworthy out of all of the industries, all of the careers, all of the people, you know, whatever. Nurses are always the most trustworthy. People feel like they can trust them. You know, they're nice. They're taking care of you, whatever. Recently, COVID times, TikTok times, with all the TikTok dancing.
We're dancing nurses.
Yes. So all the dancing nurses on TikTok have completely, I don't want to say completely, but they have, for the most part, destroyed the reputation of nurses. Because now people are like, oh, you guys have so much time. Thought you were busy. I thought you were busy taking care of people. But they see those nurses who are probably on their lunch break or whatever. But still, they see that. They're making TikToks at work. They're not actually caring for patients. And that has
damaged
vastly,
reputation.
Absolutely.
Yep. 603-283-6160 is the phone number if you'd like to participate tonight. Our number three is coming up. If you've ever been pantsed at school, give us a call to tell us about your experience, because we're going to talk about an article that involves that very thing and the horrors that it's bringing to these children.
No matter where you live, what you make, or who you voted for, there are some things that will impact all of us soon. Whether you're concerned about extreme weather, the alarming increase in man-made disasters, or worsening food shortages, Americans are preparing in numbers not seen since World War II. What's changed is how we prepare. And the folks at My Patriot Supply have made it easier than ever for you to have peace of mind, knowing you're ready for what's next. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and stock up on their popular 3-month emergency food kit. They include tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners with over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one kit per person. For a limited time, save $200 plus get free shipping on your 3-month supply at MyPatriotSupply.com. Too many Americans are being let down by institutions we used to trust. It's time to rely on ourselves. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com now. MyPatriotSupply.com.
You've seen crazy diets to lose weight? At GCN Team, our healthy body weight loss system simply neutralizes the body, bringing down cravings. It has been proven that nutritional deficiencies drive appetite for carbs, sugars, and fats. Lose weight the easy way. Find us at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Fighting cravings is a fool's game. Give the body what it needs to be satisfied. Again, 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com.